Welcome to another inspirational message from Bridge Church Melbourne.
I love church not because it's a ritual. I love church. You know, can I just tell us something? Could you just get this thing called religion and throw it away in the bin? Religion is not worth having. Seriously, it's not. We don't have a religion. We've got this living, unbelievably close Saviour. His name is Jesus Christ, who's closer to you and I than your breath and my breath. Who right now this morning, I pray that we're not in a posture of just another meeting. Don't ever get in a posture of a meeting. Don't ever get in a posture of another something, you know, religious thing to do. But get in the presence of God, because that's where everything changes. I want to speak to us this morning about something that I think will touch most of our lives sooner or later. I want to tell you, I'm not here to excite you this morning, but who knows that the Lord doesn't necessarily employ ministers so we can excite you, but speak truth to you. So it may not be so exciting, but I pray in the Holy Spirit that it's helpful. And I just want to let us know that when every single one of us was born again, when you and I came into relationship with Jesus Christ, when we had our sins forgiven and we literally had a spiritual resurrection, there was a point in time where you and I were insensible to God. There was a point in time where you and I did not find the things of God tasteful. You didn't enjoy prayer. You didn't want to come to church. You didn't want to read the Bible. You were insensible to it because you were dead in trespasses and sin. But then you and I made a decision to allow Jesus to become Lord of our life, to become our personal Savior, not just the Savior of the world. By the way, if you haven't done that, you're going to have an opportunity at the end of this service to do so. It's the only way to become a Christian. But when you were born again, when I was born again, synonymously with being born again, there is a seed from God that is sown into your spirit. That seed is their desires from God about your future. God begins to give you and I a mental portrait of what He wants your life to become. Call it a dream, call it a vision, call it a prompting, calling whatever you want to call it. But I want you to know that the future of your life is already hidden in the seed of God inside your heart. God works things in us in order that we may outwork them. That's why in Philippians 2:13, the Apostle Paul talks about work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. He's talking about working out what God has worked in you. It's already in you. You don't need a prophet to come and tell you. You don't need a minister to come and tell you what's on your life. You don't need all of it, because the Spirit who lives inside of you, who guides you into all truth, has already given your spirit the whisper of what the future of your life should look like. The mental portrait that God has created. But here's what happens. Who knows that as we continue along the journey, every single one of us, we cop a few knocks along the way, don't we? And sometimes what happens is it takes the wind out of your sails. We become a little bit discouraged. After a few years of kind of like heading in a particular trajectory and not necessarily seeing what the mental portrait that God has put into your heart, sometimes we throw in the towel and we think, you know what, maybe I got it all wrong. Maybe it wasn't wrong, but because I've made such bad decisions, I've made decisions that were not conducive, maybe I am where I am today. I am between my past and my promise, and I'm right here today. I'm so far from really what I thought my life would be, maybe. And maybe it's never going to happen. Some of us think that maybe Satan has done it. Satan has derailed the destiny of God on your life. Some of us think it was just not conducive, that you had all these dreams, but they didn't eventuate because the situations were contrary to you. I married the wrong person, or I got around the wrong church, or all sorts of things. Just maybe all of those things happened and they've now disqualified me. And where you're living right now, you're living in this place It's almost a paralysis. You're not thriving, you are just surviving. You're not really pressing in to what God has for you, but you've settled in a place that is way short of what God has for you. And you're saying, okay, maybe I'm here, and you're feeling a little bit crippled. And can I say that that's where I want to pick up the story today? I want to talk to us today about a crippling that crowns. And we can stop the flow of the Holy Spirit right there. Thank you, my friend. That's awesome. Don't you just love it? The keyboarders get up and the Spirit of God just... preachers preach their heart out and nothing happens. It's awesome. A crippling that crowns. And we're going to look at the life of somebody who was exactly like that. Somebody who got to a point where, the voice of the Holy Spirit was inside of him. There was a destiny that was upon this man's life. And he had tried everything in his capacity to make it happen. He labored hard. He did everything he knew how to do. He was a capable person. And he did everything he knew how to do. And it still was not good enough. And he was weary and he was tired and he was ready to throw in the towel. And just as he is ready to throw in the towel, it got worse. God crippled him so he can crown him. Would you open up with me to the book of Genesis chapter 32? We're going to read out of the life of Jacob. Book of Genesis chapter 32. If you don't know the life story of Jacob, I'm not going to go through it now, but Jacob had a very clear destiny on his life before birth. Who knows that God's got something for you that he has foreordained before birth? Before you were born, I knew you. Known to God from all eternity. God knows from all eternity the plans that he has for your life. He's not making them up as he goes along. Hello? God has declared the end from the beginning. God is not improvising your story. Jacob was foreordained for destiny and purpose. Finds himself in a place of life where he is so far. He is so far from why he thought he was created, what God had spoken over his life. And he's right there between the past and the promise in an absolute place of dilemma, in an absolute place of feeling so sapped. And will I ever be the man that God has called me to be? And we pick up the story when life is going at its absolute worst. He's about to be potentially killed by his own brother whom he had deceived. So we're going to read Genesis chapter 32 and verse 22. It says, he arose that night and took his two wives. And as I said to the 9 o'clock service, men don't get any funny ideas. Old Testament. And women, if you're sitting next to your husband, slap him. Tell him it's Old Testament. One husband, one wife. Preach, said Pastor Luke. He arose that night, took his two wives, his two female servants, 11 sons, crossed over the ford of the Jabbok. He took them, sent them over the brook, and sent over what he had. Then Jacob was left alone. Huh? I want to stop right there, and I want to tell you that, I'll tell you what, you can have 1,000 people around you and still be alone. Aloneness and loneliness are not the same. There are some things that are going on inside of you that only you and God know. And you're going to have to deal with it alone. There is no one that will compensate for what you're going to have to deal with between you and God. There's a private place that even the closest people cannot touch. It's only reserved for you and God. He was alone. And a man wrestled with him. Again, I just want us to see this. Jacob did not wrestle with the man. The man wrestled with him. Jacob did not pick a fight. The man picked up the fight. And that's important. And you'll see why in a moment. He was alone, a man wrestled with him until the breaking of day. Now when he saw that he did not prevail against him, he touched the socket of his hip, and the socket of Jacob's hip was out of joint. He basically crippled him. As he wrestled with him, he said to him, let me go for the day breaks. But he said, I will not let you go unless you bless me. He said to him, what is your name? He said, Jacob. Jacob, by the way, means cheat. It means con man. It means used car salesman. No, it doesn't mean that. It means supplanter. It means trickster. It means somebody who goes at the heel of somebody and trips them over. That's literally what Jacob means. He said to him, my name is Jacob. And he said, your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have struggled with God and with men and have prevailed. That's fine. We can stop it there and get into the story. Jacob finds himself living in a place of regret, not the place of promise. And I just want to say to some of us today, you know, some of us are not living with our dreams in view. We are living with our regrets in view. Jacob finds himself in a place where he's not preparing for his destiny. He is preparing to eat the fruit of his deception, of his bad decisions. You see, Jacob had caused all these divisions in his family. He had deceived his father, deceived his brother, and now he was about to eat the fruit of it. Sometimes we get to a point in life where we think we've so messed it up that it's irrecoverable, that God cannot bring it back to where it's intended place, while all the while God has not left plan A for your life and my life. And that's where Jacob finds himself. He sends out his two wives into two different camps. So his brother Esau is coming. He's thinking he's going to seek revenge on my life. He sends them into two different camps and sends out three waves of gifts and 400 men. Because Jacob is in such a bad place. He is the furthest he could be from what God had said over him. You know that God said that I will be the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He was a man with a destiny. As a matter of fact, in the Bible it says, Jacob, I have loved. He knew he was loved. He knew he was appointed to be a blessing and blessed. He knew that he was a man of destiny, and now he is literally preparing not to thrive, but to survive. Jacob finds himself in that place. But I want to begin our thinking by letting us know that even though Jacob was tired, Jacob was fighting with his wives. Jacob had just finished years of wrestling with his uncle, who was also his father-in-law, a man by the name of Laban. Jacob was tired because he started off life deceiving his father and running away from his brother. Jacob was tired, 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 tired. Everything he had tried in his own strength to make it happen did not work, and Jacob was tired. And you would think that when you're that tired, that if God is going to appear, that God is going to appear so he could say to you, son, daughter, he's some incredible supernatural strength so that you can go the rest of a journey. Would you not? But God appeared to cripple him. Hello? God appeared to cripple him, but I want us to know the Lord was not just crippling him for the sake of crippling him. He was crippling him for the sake of crowning him. Because there's a crippling that crowns. Here's what I mean by that. Jacob was a man who was full of self-confidence. He was a really capable guy. You read his story, he's so resourceful. He's so full of energy. He is so full of intelligence. He's such a capable guy. He's a guy full of vigor. He's a guy full of himself. And what the Lord had to do was literally bring Jacob to the end of Jacob so that the beginning of the purpose of God can take place. He literally had to bring Jacob through this emptying process. He took Jacob through an emptying process where he would continue to empty him. Do you know we can only come to the place of God's strength in our life when we are sapped of the strength of ourselves. Jacob was just like Peter. He was so full of vigor. He was a man who can manufacture all things. He was a man that he was the kind of guy that you would give stuff to because he can make things happen. And he thought that's how you do it. Like, you step into, if God says something, I'm going to take control of it, wrestle with it, and bring it to pass. But who knows that God wasn't interested in Jacob being a wrestler. God wanted Jacob to be a leaner. He had to bring him to the end of his power. All people who have a destiny over their life, a calling over their life, must go through an emptying process that gets you to the end of yourself so that the power of God may rest upon you. I wonder whether David could have ever been the mighty prophet and king, the leader of God's people, the leader, the spiritual leader and political leader of a generation and a nation, the man who would write so many psalms and have so much influence that would outlive him. If not only did he go through the lion and the bear and Goliath, but he had years of harassment in a cave with Saul. I wonder if he could have ever been that man. I wonder if Elijah could have been the mighty prophet that would turn around, be the revivalist of a nation, break down idols single-handedly, bring fire and rain from heaven, if Elijah first didn't go to God's training school of desert. The Cherith Brook and Zarephath, where he would be fed by a crow, by a vulture, where he would be fed by a widow. I wonder if Moses could have ever been a deliverer of God's people had he continued in his pompous ways as the prince of Egypt, full of education, full of the wisdom of the Egyptians, full of power, full of skill. I wonder if God could have used him to be deliverer, unless God had taken him 40 years in the desert so Moses can come to the end of Moses. I want to tell somebody today, please don't misread the message of your circumstances. Sometimes your problems are the key to your promotion. Sometimes God, not the devil, is crippling you, not to cripple you so that he can crown you. Sometimes God is right behind it, bringing you and I to the end of ourselves so that we could never take pride in ourselves and all that is to come, all the glory that is to come, we could never say our hands did this, but only the Lord. Look what the Lord has done. That I take no credit with the Lord, that the Lord takes all the glory, that we come to the place where there is no claim to any kind of glory. No place where I could share in the glory of God that he deserves solely over your life and my life. I want to tell you that every single person who has a great destiny over his life must go through an emptying process. Must. Paul had such a significant call of God on his life. The more significant the call, the greater the problems. I told you I wasn't here to excite you. It's true. The more significant your calls, the greater your problems. When God wants to enlarge your destiny, he will enlarge your problems. Nobody's waving a hanky and stuff, eh? Hallelujah. I'd rather tell you the truth because the truth will set you free. Paul had such a great destiny on his life. Paul was called to change nations, to make an eternal difference. But Paul was like a raging bull, and the Lord had to wrestle him into a bleating lamb before he can powerfully use him. There was one time where Paul records this. Paul records that there was a thorn in his flesh. We don't know what the thorn was. Bible commentators have all kinds of views on what it looked like, but we know a couple of things about what it is to have a thorn in the flesh. A thorn in the flesh is going to debilitate your movement. He had something that constrained him. He wanted to do so much for God. He had such vision, such enthusiasm, such faith. But God wouldn't let him do it. God debilitated him. Whoa. God constrained him. Are you kidding me? Uh-huh. I want to tell you that it didn't just debilitate. It literally hurt. Who knows that if you're going to carry around the thorn in the flesh, that's got to hurt. See, our growth in God, true growth in God, always involves some pain. It's not all just about going to conferences and reading glorious books and getting goosebumps as the Holy Spirit falls. Praise God for all of those things. But for God to mature you and I, I'm telling you, we're going to go through some stuff. If you're serious about what God has for your life, you'll go through some stuff. Paul was there. Paul was like, God, if you would just take away the thorn, I would move freely. You know how many Christians say that? God, if you would just, you fill in the blank. If you would just, then I would. God, if you would just take away the pain, do you know how great I'm going to be for you? Little did Paul know at that time that it was the Lord who permitted it. Because the Lord wanted to do something greater than Paul could ever imagine. He was crippling him to crown him. Would you open up with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 12? Have a look at it. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 9. The Lord responds to Paul's query. He said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. I want us to see this. Lord Jesus said to Paul, my strength is made perfect in weakness. He didn't say to him, Paul, your strength is made. He said, my strength is made perfect in your weakness. Paul got it. He said, therefore, that means as a result of what the Lord said to me, most gladly, I would rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Who's up for that today? Who would love to say, you know what, Lord? I would love for your power to be resident on my life. Not to visit me, but may rest upon me. That the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, as a result of what I'd learned from that lesson, I take pleasures in infirmities, reproaches, needs, persecutions, distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Can you see that? The Lord wrestled Paul. The Lord wrestled Jacob. The Lord wrestles you. The Lord wrestles me so that we stop wrestling and we begin leaning. That we're no longer strong in ourselves, that we no longer have any claim to any of what the Lord is about to do through your life and my life. It's only when we are weak that we are strong. But I want to tell us that I don't let those dilemmas that you're facing in life to break your compass. Don't let him. God is not breaking you, my friend. God is making you. I was talking to a jeweler the other day and he was telling me about how much he labors. He makes diamond rings. How much he labors on the setting so that the setting is so solid that the setting can carry the diamond. He talks to me about how precise the work is, how he doesn't care about how long it takes because at the end of the day, the setting is going to carry the diamond. Can I just tell you, our Heavenly Father, if he's going to give you and I the diamond, he's got to get the setting in place. God isn't breaking you. God is making you. And that's why we can't let these dilemmas break our compass. There are some people here, and you've got a ministry call on your life, but you're so far away from it. And you're thinking, Lord, what on earth? There are some people here, you feel like your singleness is so overdue. I am so single. I don't know. That's ridiculous. While God's given you a vision of a family. When you were a child, you had something in your heart. There are some people here, you're the most qualified, yet you've lost your job. And you can't get your head around that. It's all good, my friend. Don't let dilemmas break your compass. Don't misread the message of your circumstances. Because here's the one thing that I want to tell you when it comes to crippling. Crippling is a season, not a permanent arrangement. God cripples not so that we could be crippled. He cripples so that we can be crowned. That's why he made him into Israel. Israel means prince with God. He said to him, you're no longer going to be Jacob. You're going to be prince with God. I'm going to put your hip out. And ironically, that's the straightest you're going to walk for the rest of your life. But I'm going to cripple you, not so I can cripple you, but so I can crown you. I'm going to cripple you so you can come to the end of yourself and see the beginning of my power in your world and in your life. Crippling is just but a season. We make the grossest of mistakes. I've seen so many Christians go there. Please, please put this in your faith deposit in your heart. Please. So many Christians tap out because of a season. They judge their life by a season. Since when do we judge a tree by one season? That's not how it works. If you're going through some circumstances now, that's because God is working in you so he can work through you. So that he can give you what he has intended to give you. It's a season. Book of Daniel chapter 2. Please take this down. Put it down in the repository of your mind and faith and convictions. Book of Daniel chapter 2, verse 20. Daniel says, blessed be the name of God forever and ever. For wisdom and might are his. Would you agree that wisdom is an attribute of God? God always knows what he's up to. That's why I told you right at the beginning, God is not improvising your story. Wisdom and might are his. Known to God from all eternity are all his works. God knows exactly what he's doing all the time. Everything is always under control. Wisdom and might are his. Look at this. He changes the times and the seasons. Can you see that? One of the attributes of God is that he changes times and seasons. If I said to you one of the attributes of God is love, would you agree? You would, right? If I told you that one of them was kindness, you would agree. If I told you it was faithfulness, you would agree. If I told you it was justice, you would agree. These are attributes of an unchanging God. One of the attributes of the unchanging God that you and I are in covenant and relationship with is that he is the God who changes times and seasons. That means the rest of my life doesn't have to look like my present or my past. Somebody needs to have a revelation of that today. If God is God, the rest of your life, doesn't matter how short or long it is, does not have to look like anything, doesn't even have to resemble what the past looked like. That's why the Lord says this to Jacob. The Lord says to him, hey, Jacob, as if the Lord didn't know his name. What's your name? He said to him, Jacob. Look what the Lord says. Listen in. You shall no longer be called Jacob. No longer. No longer. No more. I'm about to change the times and the seasons. I'm about to turn the crippling into a crowning. No longer. Because Jacob means cheat. Jacob means supplanter. Jacob means a con man. Can you imagine waking up in the morning and mummy saying, good morning, cheat? Can you imagine what that'll do to who you think you are? Can I just say that there's many of us that have believed the satanic prophecy over our life rather than the word of God over our life. The labels that have been placed upon us. That some of us even cut ourselves down in our own mind because of what's been said about us by significant others. That we've never grown out of that, that we're still there, cutting ourselves down. But the Lord said to him, Jacob, my son, I want you to know something. If you believe the lie, you become the lie. But I want you to know that that was a season. You shall no longer be called Jacob. You shall no longer be cheat. You shall no longer be con man. You shall be prince with God. You shall no longer, do you know that the phrase no longer appears in the Bible 109 times where God says, no longer. No longer shall that be. You know what it is? It's an emphatic statement from heaven to transition your paradigm about yourself. Did you hear that? It really is. God is emphasizing that you cannot talk to yourself the way you used to talk to yourself. You shall no longer be called Jacob. You shall no longer be the person who says, I can't. You shall no longer be the person who says, I am too old. You shall no longer be the person who says, I've mucked it up. You shall no longer be the person who says, oh, others, but not me. You shall no longer be that, because that was a season to cripple you, but now I'm going to crown you. You shall no longer. I wonder if God is saying already to some hearts right here today, that today you need to draw this line in the sand and you just need to hear the word of the Lord that says you shall no longer. And take it in your spirit, you shall no longer. Book of Isaiah chapter 43 and verses 18 and 19, he says, do not remember the former things nor consider the things of old. Do not remember. God doesn't even want you to mull over it. God doesn't want you to consider it. God wants you to know that it plays no part in your future. Therefore, don't even think about it. He says, do not mull over it. Do not even consider it. I need us to know that when God says no longer and the season is about to change, that God is always ready to bring in what he's crippled you for, and that is to crown you. You see, you and I give up on the promises of God. You and I throw in the towel. But who knows, when you throw in the towel, God throws it straight back at you. Because God is never discouraged. God is never defeated. God, with one stroke of genius, will bring you out of prison and into the palace in one day. God is not short of intelligence or wisdom as to how to make it happen even now. God knows how to restore the years that the swarming locust has eaten. You tap out, God will make sure you're back in the ring. Let me tell you this. When God prophesies something over you, and that's where I started this morning. When you were born again and God put something in your heart, men may fail. You give up on yourself. Friends give up on you. Family gives up on you. But God never. God is stuck on plan A for your world. With God, hear me, there is no plan B. There is no plan B. What God has put in your heart, a promise from God, is a scheduled appointment that you will collide with. Though it tarries, wait for it will surely happen. That's the word of the Lord. He said, though it tarries, though it takes more time than you thought it would, wait for it will surely happen. God watches over his word to perform it. God never utters a thing and it does not come to pass. Book of Joshua chapter 21 and verse 45, Joshua says that all good things that the Lord has promised all came to pass. There is no such thing as the Lord prophesying over your life a word for your future that does not come to pass. The only time it doesn't come to pass is we abandon it. God knows how to make it happen even this very day. Can I show you one more verse and then I'm done? I want to show you this. Book of Isaiah chapter 14. Book of Isaiah, worship team, if you can join me. Book of Isaiah chapter 14, verse 27. Says, the Lord of heaven's armies has spoken. Who can change his plans? Can I ask us to please answer that inside your heart? If God has spoken over your life, please just right now answer that inside your heart. Who can change his plans? Can contrary circumstances change it? What, he didn't see this coming? He didn't see this coming? He didn't know that this was going to happen in your world? He didn't know that circumstances were going to be like this in 2019 in your world? He didn't know that it caught him by surprise? Who can change his plans? when his hand is raised, who can stop him? When his hand is raised, who can stop him? Please answer that in your heart. God has already put something, and it's from the Holy Spirit upon your life. Who could stop him? Who could stop him? Please answer it in your heart. Who could stop him? Can all of hell stop him? Can all of humanity stop him? Can circumstances stop him? Is the Lord's hand shortened that he cannot save? Who could stop him? Please let me tell you this. Every miracle starts with a problem. Please let me tell you this, that when God takes you outside the area of your experience, anything that you've ever had to deal with before, anything that you've ever encountered, when he takes you right outside the realm of your experience, that is the place of miracles. Some of us are here today, and I just want you to ponder this for a moment. So many Christians believe that they are out of the will of God, that they've missed it. I want to tell you that that's a lie from hell. Please humor me for just a few more seconds. I want to ask this. What if, just host it for a few seconds. What if actually you are right exactly where God wants you? What if you haven't missed it? What if God is working all things together for good to those who are the called according to his purpose? What if you are exactly like Jacob where God wants you and he's brought the crippling so he can crown you? Just what if? I kind of have a feeling that I trust the spirit of truth much more than the spirit of error. I kind of have a feeling that I trust a sovereign God, not a defeated devil. I kind of have a feeling that my God is still in control. To him belongs wisdom and power, and he changes the times and the seasons. I kind of have a feeling that the only reason God is speaking this word to many of us today is not to entertain us, nor to put something in the repository of Christian information, but maybe something that was dead and buried in your life is about to be resurrected. Maybe a crippling is about to be a crowning. Maybe today is the day of salvation. Just maybe God's word is going to find faith in your heart, and instead of being in despair, the morning star is going to rise in your heart. Maybe, just maybe. My friend, it's not too late. I feel the devil's lies right here. Moses was 80. It's not too late. Don't disqualify what God has qualified. The Lord is not out of genius. Single stroke will bring you back to exactly where he wants you. Here's what I'd love to do this morning. I believe in encounter. I don't believe in meetings. I believe in touches of the Holy Spirit that completely change lives. What I'd love to do this morning is in a few minutes that remain, I would love for any person who feels like, you know what, through what the Lord has shared in your heart this morning, that you're not actually going to throw in the towel, that you know what, Lord, so be it. Even if there was a crippling, let it be for the crowning. And Lord, I'm not giving up. I'm not giving up because I threw in the towel, but you're throwing it straight back at me. You're saying, son, daughter, no way will I give up. No way. He neither fails nor is he discouraged. And that God will still do it in your life. You're lining up with it. You're saying, devil, hands off. Inheritance is still mine. The promise is still mine. Still mine. God is able. My God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that I ask or think. I partner not with the lies of hell, Today is a day of no longer. I shall no longer be called Jacob, but I shall be Israel, Prince with God. And I receive it from heaven, from a good father who has never given up on me and will make the rest of your days the best of your days in the mighty name of Jesus. Not everyone, but if that is you right now, could you just stand to your feet? I'd love to pray with you. If that is you, just stand to your feet right now. Don't worry about anybody else, because this is not about anybody else. This is about God doing what He wants to do in your world. Hallelujah. Awesome. I'm waiting because I know that God has spoken to so many even more hearts. I'm not waiting for numbers. I'm waiting for lives to be resurrected and receive a mighty touch from heaven. Thank you, Lord. Keep going. Keep going. There are some of you, you know, you need to stand to your feet. I'm not coercing you. I just want to encourage you, because God is going to powerfully touch you. You don't stretch out your hand to God and return empty. You don't come hungry to God and go away unfed. When you stand in the presence of the Lord and you say, count me in, not with the devil, not with circumstances, but I line up with my God, you get ready for a touch from heaven. Hallelujah. Can I have everybody standing up, just raising your hand to heaven? Only those who are standing up, not everybody else. Just those who are standing up, your hands to heaven. Holy Spirit, I thank you. You're so tender and so good. Thank you, Lord, that everything that you have put in us is not left to circumstances, not left to the devil, not even left to our frailties, but let the weak say, I am strong. Thank you that you know how to tapestry our entire life and engineer it in such a way that the canvas at the end could be exactly what you have predetermined. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray, we are people that love you and are loved by you. We pray this morning, mighty God, that a spirit of faith would arrest us. That a spirit of no longer Jacob. That even though there has been a crippling process, we're okay with being empty. Then we say, Holy Spirit, have your way. Because now we're ready for the power of God. We take no claim of the future to ourselves. Thank you for all the glory that is to come. All the majesty that is about to be outworked. All the supernatural that is about to be released in your people's life. Thank you that it's not by might, nor by power, but by the Spirit of the Lord. Thank you that even right now, weak hands are being made strong. Feeble knees are being strengthened. Thank you that even though the hip has gone out of place, the walk is going to be so much straighter than ever. Thank you that this is the day of the Lord where the enemy is subdued. Thank you that Satan is defeated in your people's life. Thank you that this is a new day where times and seasons have clicked over. Thank you that the winter clothes are off and it's springtime in your people. Thank you that the crippling is now a crowning in the mighty name that is above every name. The most high name of Jesus. We pray and receive this. If you agree with me, give Him a great clap offering this morning. Absolutely wonderful. You may take your seats for a moment.
Thank you for joining us for this message today. It is an incredible privilege to share with you the Word of God, and we trust that you've been blessed by listening. We don't assume that every person listening has a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And so today we want to extend an invitation to you to begin the faith journey of following Jesus. The Bible teaches us every one of us have been created for relationship with God. Sin has separated every one of us from that relationship, but God has provided a solution in giving us His Son, Jesus Christ. John 3:16 tells us that for God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, so that whoever believes in Him would not perish but have everlasting life. You have an opportunity today to respond with a confession of faith and a decision to believe in Jesus. Today, we invite you to make a deliberate decision to invite Jesus Christ to be your personal Lord and Savior. Romans 10:10 says that with our hearts we believe and are justified, and with our mouths we confess and we are saved. So right now, if you have faith in your heart and you're ready to make that decision, you can simply pray this prayer with me. Dear God, I thank you that you love me so much that you sent Jesus to die on the cross for me. Thank you that through his death and resurrection, I am forgiven of my sin to start a brand new life. Lord Jesus, I ask you to forgive me, cleanse me, and to fill me with the power of your Holy Spirit. Today, I choose you as my Lord and Savior, and I thank you that I am now born again as a child of God. Amen. If you prayed that prayer today, we would love to know and we would love to help you in any way that we can. You can contact us on our Bridge Church website, bridgechurch.com, and we'd love to hear from you. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to this message. We hope you have been challenged and encouraged.